would just look to the Lord in a word of prayer this evening. Our gracious God, our eternal loving Father, we gather, Lord, before Thee in this, the evening of Thy day. We gather in and through our Savior's worthy and precious name. And we rejoice, O God, afresh tonight in the goodness and the mercy of our God toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, we thank Thee for Christ coming into this world to be our Savior, to be the propitiation for our sins. We thank Thee that He offered Himself a once for all a sacrifice for sin, and that upon the cross of Calvary He bare our sin in His own body to the tree. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight in pardon through the blood of Christ. Peace, O God, with Thee and through the blood of Christ. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight that Thy word declares that we who once were afar off have now been made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. And O God, our heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this evening hour, we return Thee thanks for all Thy goodness and mercies and blessings to us throughout today already. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us in Thy house this morning and for Your goodness to us throughout this Thy day. But Lord, we need Thee afresh, O God, tonight. We cannot rest upon past blessings. Realize, O God, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And Lord, our prayer would be that even tonight, from this opening hymn to the last amen, that we might know a gracious sense of Thy presence, that we might know Thy help and Thy power and blessing in our midst tonight, O God, we pray. And Father, we pray that we might go away from Thy house revived and blessed and refreshed, and knowing, Lord, that it was good to be here, for here we met afresh with Thee, our God and our Savior. We do thank Thee, O God, tonight, that Thou art the God of our salvation. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast said on Thy word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father, we thank Thee that there's life for a look at the crucified one. And Lord, our prayer would be tonight that every heart and soul in this meeting, from the very youngest to the oldest, that our hearts, O God, would be fixed upon the Lord. O God, Thou hast told us in Thy word that we are to ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Father, we thank that Christ is one who saves and keeps even unto life eternal. Bless all who have been able to come tonight. We thank Thee for every head bowed in Thy presence. Bless all who have gathered tonight. Remember every home and family and household, Lord, that is represented here this evening. And Lord, as our faces would differ, so do our needs. But Lord, we're looking to Thee that Thou will come, Lord, and bless and meet every need out of Thy riches, O God, in glory by Christ Jesus. Strengthen and encourage Thy people. Build every believer up in their most holy faith and lead us onward and heavenward. Help us to be conformed more and more unto the image of Christ. Help us to die to self and to die to sin. Help us to live to the praise of Thy glory day by day. Lord, for any with us tonight who may be cold at heart, give that restoring, reviving touch. Any with us, Lord, unsaved, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even tonight they might come and taste and see that the Lord is good, and know that blessing of sins forgiven, covered, blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. We pray for those that are unable to join with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou, Lord, will minister to them by the grace and by the power of God divine. Remember others, Lord, who have lost loved ones in recent times. Lord, do comfort their hearts. Be unto them all that they would need and all, O God, that they would require in their time of need. Bless our land tonight. Remember our province. Bless every faithful servant of the Lord. Remember all our sister congregations. We thank Thee, O God, that we're still in the day of grace, still in the day of gospel opportunity. And Lord, we pray that even tonight, O Lord, there'll be great rejoicing in heaven over sinners coming to know and trust the Lord as Savior. Lord, we think of the forthcoming week here in our church. Remember the children's mission especially. Bless our sister Jillian as she brings Thy word night by night. May she know the help and the blessing of God, that enablement that comes alone from Thee. And Lord, give great help and bless all who will gather. Remember the boys and girls, especially from around this area. Oh Lord, touch their hearts, touch their lives. Touch the parents' hearts as well to send them and to bring them, we pray. And Father, we pray that it might be a week of great blessing when there'll be boys and girls who will trust the Lord and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Father, we leave all these things in thy hands. Bless us now as we continue on before thee. Give help in the singing of thy praises, in the reading of thy word, the preaching of thy word. We pray for the outpouring of thy Spirit. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood of the Lamb. And have thy way in every heart and every life, O God, this night, as thou wouldst see our need. For we do pray and do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book for our second hymn this evening, hymn number 364. It's a wonderful hymn of testimony. Peace like a river is flooding my soul. Since Christ my Savior maketh me whole. Sweet peace abiding my portion shall be. Jesus my Savior is precious to me. 364, standing again as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Have your Bible with you tonight, would ask you to turn, please, to Matthew's Gospel, to the chapter number 23 for our Bible reading this evening. Matthew's Gospel, and we're turning to chapter 23 and the verse 25. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. Matthew chapter 23 and the verse number 25, here with the Lord Jesus Christ speaking as he ministered here on earth. And in verse 25 of Matthew 23, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, But within they are full of exhortation and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 39. Our prayer is the Lord will bless this public reading of his own eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's great to see all have been able to gather with us here tonight. We bid you a very special and warm word of welcome in the Lord's name. And if you're visiting with us, it's always a joy to visit us, to share in our fellowship. And if you're a believer in the Lord, may you be strengthened in your faith and walk with God. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, our prayer burden is that you'll come even tonight and put your trust in the Lord alone for salvation. To those also who may be viewing online, we thank you for joining with us as well. And we pray the Lord will bless you, and that the Lord will draw near to you and minister to you according to his word and grace and power even this evening. The announcements for the incoming week are as follows. Do remember, please, the children's mission here in the church this incoming week, Monday night through to Friday night from 6:30 p.m. through to 7:45 p.m. Do be much in prayer for this. Do all you can to invite, encourage children in your family circle, neighborhood, wherever. And again, if you can help in any way, do contact our sister Gillian. She'll be glad of all the help. Do remember her in your prayers night by night, that you know God's help and blessing in the ministry of the Word of God. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We commend this to every believer. Trust as many as possible. Be able to gather, we belong to bring God's Word. And then, as we mentioned this morning, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. meeting here, just for the annual summer tidy-up inside and outside the church. Trust as many be able to gather as possible, men and women alike. Trust you'll be able to join with us for that work on Wednesday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 3rd of July, being the first Sunday of the month, is our building fund offering. Remember that, please. Morning worship service, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. Both services preceded by the half of prayer. And our brother, the Reverend Laurie Parr, will be along to minister God's word. Do pray also for the children's mission the week after this week. That's from Monday the 4th through to Friday the 8th of July as well. Lisbelaw Orange Hall from 10:30 in the morning to 12 noon. Pray for that. Make it known to the children in the area. And again, if you can help with those meetings, contact our sister Gillian. Word of sympathy to her sister, Mrs. June McElfantrick, and her husband, Noel, and family. June lost an aunt in the week that has passed, and we assure June and all the family of her prayers at this time of bereavement. From Saturday the 3rd of July through to Monday 18th of July, we'll be off on holidays. There is a list there of the visiting speakers out in the hallway. The Reverend Larry Power will be in charge of any emergency visitation. Please do note that during the 12th of July holiday week, the prayer meeting, which is normally the Tuesday night, will be moved to the Thursday night. So do take note of that change. It will be on the Thursday night at 8 p.m. And then do remember also in your prayers the convention meetings soon coming upon us on the 31st of July through to the 7th of August. There are wee invite cards out there on the table on the porch. I encourage you to take those, give them out, and be much in prayer. We would encourage you as a congregation to set aside time daily and to pray for the children's missions and to pray for the convention and those that would minister God's word. That will be a time of refreshing and blessing from the Lord. In connection just with the convention, there's a list out there for the tea rota, just to help with the providing tea for the speakers and the singers each evening. If you can help with that, that's the evening meetings. Do put your name on the date that suits you. You really need two ladies per evening just to help with that. So do remember that, please. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 103. 103 is a great old gospel hymn. Have you read the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died when your debt was paid by the precious blood that flowed from his wounded side? 103 in the page 218. We'll keep our seats while we sing. And I do remember also the offering after the meeting. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plates at the rear. Remember that as you leave. 103, keeping our seats for the early part of this lovely old hymn. Final verse and chorus. turn to that passage of Scripture we read a little earlier, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 23. And with God's Word open before us, let us unite our hearts together, please, in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our meeting tonight, for the singing of Thy praises, the reading of Thy Word. Lord, now as we turn to meditate upon Thy Word, to consider it, we pray that Thou wilt open our hearts and minds tonight to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. We pray that Thy Word would be a blessing to every heart, to every soul. And Lord, that through Thy Word tonight, saints would be blessed, led on with God, that we might be built up in our most holy faith in the things of God. For any with us tonight, not saved, Lord, speak to them. And Lord, even this evening, may they come and choose Christ and trust Him as their Savior. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike to this end. Give help to preach Thy Word. Thou said in Thy Word that if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And Lord, we're asking tonight upon the promise of Thy Word for that anointing, that double portion to preach Thy Word. Pour out Thy Spirit, give right words, we pray. And in everything that is said and done tonight, may the Lord Jesus Christ be honored and glorified, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. The text of Scripture we want to look at tonight with you is the verse number 37 of Matthew's Gospel and the chapter number 23. That verse says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Our text here this evening is really part of the Lord's concluding address to the scribes and Pharisees of his day. In fact, these words were his final words as a preacher before he was to die that cruel death upon the cross of Calvary. And in this chapter, you see that he rebukes the scribes and the Pharisees for their sin. And he also warns them of God's judgment that was coming upon them for their sin and for the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Indeed, speaking of Jerusalem in this very light, he says in the words of our text, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And by these words, yes, they tell of Jerusalem's rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And the consequence of this meant that the Christ was going to give the city up to judgment. And Christ makes reference to that, you see, in verse 38, the verse following our text, when he says there, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. But as well as warning them of their rejection of Christ and the judgment that was to come, these words in verse number 37, they also show the Lord's pity. They show, yes, the Lord's compassion toward those who would reject Him as Savior and toward those who would die in their sin. And people, as the Lord Jesus Christ is one who changes not, then He is one who still has love for sinners today, as He did also during the days of His earthly ministry here on earth. Yes, as He changes not, the Lord is one who still grieves at such who reject Him and such who perish in their sin. And the Bible shows us that. The Bible teaches that. For the Word of God says, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And dear people, tonight our text before us is evidence of this same great truth. Yes, in our text the Lord says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would have I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Yes, here in these words, in this text before us, we have Christ's lamentation over those who are perishing in sin. And as we would consider this lamentation this evening, there are three things I want you to note from the verse. Notice, first of all, here with me, just the Lord's concern. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together? And with these words, yes, the Lord Jesus, he illustrates, he shows his salvation by using here the picture of a mother hen gathering her chickens, gathering her brood under her wings. And in salvation, the sinner, yes, is one who repents of their sin. The sinner is one who forsakes their own self-righteousness, and they come by faith to Christ. They come to Christ by faith, and they rely upon him, and they trust him as Savior and as Lord in their life. Speaking of this very fact regarding the sinner coming unto Christ many years before, in the book of Genesis, Jacob spake there of the Lord in prophecy, and he said, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And there he speaks of people gathering themselves unto Christ, even as chickens would gather themselves under the wing of the mother hen. He speaks there of sinners coming to the Lord, gathering themselves unto Christ in salvation. You see, people, the Lord's concern here for Jerusalem in his day was this. It was that they would repent of their sin. It was that they would forsake their own self-righteousness. It was that they would come to him, that they would embrace him and trust him as Savior. And hence he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered, he says, thy children together. And that was his concern for the Jewish people. That was his concern for the people of Jerusalem during the days of his earthly ministry here on earth. And people, remember, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people, can I say, this is still the Lord's concern for sinners tonight, sinners today. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there he gives the invite, there he gives the appeal to sinners to come unto him for salvation. And that is an invitation, an appeal that will stand right to the very end of time and the end of this age itself. Am I speaking to one tonight and you're still unsaved? Let me say this. The Lord's concern for you tonight is that you would repent of your sins. It is that you would forsake your own self-righteousness. His concern for you is that you would come to him, that you would seek the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation from your sin and for the salvation of your soul. That's the Lord's concern for you tonight if you're still not saved. The Word of God says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. If you know not the Lord as Savior, this is the Lord's concern for you this evening, that you would turn from sin, turn by faith to him and come to him and trust him as Savior. And can I say, dear people, that this concern that arises out of the Lord's love. That's why the Lord was concerned for the people of Jerusalem. He loved them. And that's why he's concerned for sinners tonight, that they would come to him for salvation, because he loves them. This concern, yes, arises out of the Lord's love for the eternal well-being of your soul and my soul. Indeed, speaking to his ancient people in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord says this. He says, with loving kindnesses have I drawn thee. It was through his love, his mercy, his grace, his compassion that they were drawn to him for salvation. Again, the hymn writer says, of the Lord in loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And there the hymn writer was overwhelmed with the love, the compassion of Jesus Christ toward them and becoming their Savior. Well, friend, this evening, can I say this? In loving concern for your soul, the Lord called you. The Lord called you to himself for salvation. just as it is in our text this evening, even as a mother hen gathers her chicks and gathers her brood under her wings. So the Lord calls you to Himself in love and in kindness and in grace and compassion for salvation. And you know, whenever the young chicks are under the mother's wing, they're in the place of safety. They're in the place of comfort. My, they're in the place of companionship. And that's really a picture of salvation and the blessings of salvation that the sinner receives, whoever he is, whoever she is, who come to Christ and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. You see, for such there is deliverance. My, there's salvation from the wrath to come in a lost sinner's hell. Turn with me in your Bible over to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. And look with me, please, at verse number 9. You'll see this for yourself. This is what is afforded to the sinner who comes to Christ for salvation. Deliverance from the wrath to come. It says, much more then, verse 9 of Romans 5, much more then, being now justified by His blood. Notice it. We shall be saved from wrath through Him, saved from a lost eternity in hell, saved from judgment and condemnation, from sin, by coming unto Christ, by trusting Christ as Savior. Not only is there deliverance from the wrath to come, but there's fellowship. There's fellowship with the Lord. There's the nearness of the Lord to those who embrace Christ, those who trust Him as Savior. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He promises to be with all who trust Him and embrace Him as Savior right until the very end of life's journey. Again, you remember those words of the Apostle Paul writing to the believers in Ephesus, those who had trusted Christ, who'd come unto Christ for salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 13 and 14, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And in verse 19, he says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And that speaks of the great blessing of fellowship with the Lord. No more afar off, no more separated from God, but in fellowship, in union with Christ, by coming unto Him for salvation. This is what the Lord was offering to the people of Jerusalem, that they could know Him, that they could be near Him, that they could have fellowship with Him, that they could be saved from the wrath to come. But not only is there salvation from the wrath to come, not only is there fellowship with the Lord, but there's also deliverance from the very power and bondage and shackles and chains of sin itself. There's liberty, as the hymn writer says, and gladness found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was the whole purpose of Christ's ministry and His preaching here on earth, that sinners would be set free from the shackles, the bondage of sin, even in this life. Over in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4, there we read of Christ's ministry here on earth, the whole purpose of that ministry. In verses 18 and 19 of Luke chapter 4, we read these words. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Notice it. To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That was the purpose of His ministry. The people who were held fast in the bondage of sin and nature's night would be liberated, that they would be set free. It says, to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Why, that was the Lord's concern for the people of Jerusalem. That was His concern when he spake to them in our text, and He says, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. He was calling them to Himself for pardon, for deliverance from the wrath to come, that they might know fellowship with Him, and that they might be liberated from the bondage and the chains of sin in their life. You think of the Apostle Paul, his desire His ambition whenever he was saved for the city of Rome was this. He says, "For I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Why did he want to go to Rome? He wasn't going there as a tourist. He wasn't going there as a sightseer, no. He wasn't going there, as it were, to boast in the fact that he was able to gain the knowledge of the great philosophers of the day. No, he went there with a burden in his heart to preach the gospel. Why? Because he knows the gospel sets men free. It brings liberty. It sets lives gloriously free. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, this was the concern of Christ, that people in his day would be set free from their sins, delivered. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." Friend, tonight in our meeting, if you're not saved, let me say this. This is the Lord's concern for you tonight. That you'd be saved from a lost eternity in hell. That you would know God, know fellowship with God, the friendship of the Lord, no greater friendship. And that you might be delivered from the bondage of sin, that you'd be set free. That the shackles, the chains of sin would be broken. And yet you'd be given grace and help and power to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord. This was the Lord's concern, and it's still his concern for you tonight if you're still not saved. Whoever you are in this meeting, whoever you are listening in online, unsaved, friend, this is the Lord's desire, the Lord's concern for your soul this evening. Yes, we see here the Lord's concern, but not only do we see the Lord's concern here in this lamentation of Christ, we see the Lord's mercy. Look again at what our text says there in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. It says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together." Notice the mention there of the Lord's prophets. And the mention there of those that would serve the Lord or be sent unto him, the Lord's servants. And there you see the Lord's mercy. The Lord's mercy here to the people of Jerusalem in his day, it consisted in the fact that he sent his prophets, he sent his ministers, he sent his servants to proclaim the word of the Lord to them, to preach, to teach the word of God. And that was the mercy unique to Israel down throughout its history. He sent men to them like Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. In the New Testament time, John the Baptist. And the Bible says there was none greater than John the Baptist. And they came as the Lord's prophets, the Lord's messengers, the Lord's sent ones to preach and to declare the word of the Lord to them. Oh, you think of the ministry of Isaiah, all about Christ. Think of the words that he speaks of Christ regarding his crucifixion in Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And there he speaks of the death of Christ that was set before them, that Christ would come and Christ would die for their sins as an atonement, as an offering to God for the sins of his people. He could say of Christ, "The Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all." You think also of the ministry of Ezekiel. He called upon the people to turn from their sin. He said, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" He warned them, he told them of their need to repent, to turn away from their sin and to turn to God and to turn to paths of righteousness before the Lord. Think of the ministry of John the Baptist. Think of that great statement of his in John 1, verse 29. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There he exhorted them to look to Christ, to put their faith and trust in Christ for the taking away of their sin, that their sins might be taken away through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And this was the mercy of the Lord to Israel, the mercy of the Lord to the Jews and to the people of Jerusalem, how privileged they were, unlike other nations in the world. God sent his prophets, he sent his messengers, he sent his preachers. Then we can say further and add to this that the people of Jerusalem and the people of Israel, they received the greatest mercy of all, for Christ came. Christ came into their very midst as God incarnate, the Son of God, born in Bethlehem. He walked amongst them in this scene of time, and he came and he preached the word of God. He came and he performed many mighty miracles amongst them, and this was all to show forth God's plan, God's power of salvation and deliverance for them from their sins. You turn back a little bit from our Bible reading tonight to Matthew chapter number 4. And here you read about the ministry of Christ. And look at what it says about him in Matthew chapter number 4. Look at verse number 17. You'll see that Christ was a preacher of the word of God. It says in verse 17, from that time Jesus began, he began his public ministry to preach by preaching, to say, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was their season of opportunity. He called them to turn from their sin. Look at verse 23. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout, notice it, all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him, notice it, a great multitude of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. How privileged were the people of Jerusalem. How privileged were the people of Israel. Christ came. He went about doing good. He whose every errand was an errand of mercy, an errand of grace, an errand of love. He who did no sin, who knew no sin, who spoke no sin. He preached, he taught, he performed mighty miracles amongst them to set before them the great plan and purpose of God's salvation for them. You look again at our text. Notice how the word often is put into our text. He says, how often would I have gathered thy children together? This was something that they had known time after time after time throughout their history as a people. Yes, Jerusalem had enjoyed a multitude of mercies from the Lord. How often God had spoken. God had sent his servants. God had sent his messengers. How merciful God was to this people. Dear friend, tonight, can I say to you in this gathering, is it not the case that Jerusalem's mercies, is it not the case that their mercies are a picture of the mercies that you too have received and enjoyed from God's bountiful hand? Tonight in this meeting, you've got a Bible in your mother tongue, a Bible that you can read and understand. And throughout your life, you have often heard the word of God, faithfully taught, maybe to you as a child, faithfully preached and proclaimed. You have often heard the word of God. The psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. No stranger, dear friend, to the word of God. And how blessed it is to have the word of God, have it as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. My, the word of God shows you and I that we are sinners. For it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we have sinned against God in thought and word and deed. The word of God, it warns us about our sin, that it leads to destruction, that it leads to judgment and eternal separation from God and hell. For the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. The Bible also shows us that Christ has come. Christ has died upon the cross to save us from our sins. The Bible tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Word of God also shows us how we must call in faith
upon the Lord for salvation. It's salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, to know these things, I tell you, is a great mercy, a great blessing. To be no stranger to the Word of God, to know that you're a sinner, to know that your sin brings judgment, to know that Christ came and made a way of salvation by his death upon the cross, and that we can enter into that salvation by calling in faith upon the Lord. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. True faith, it says, the just shall live by faith. To know these things is a mercy indeed. And then along with this, dear friend, not only are you no stranger to the Word of God, but also you've had friends and loved ones, perhaps in the journey of life. They've witnessed to you, they've spoken to you, they've been faithful to your soul about your need of salvation. Yes, along with this, you've known, yes, the strivings, the convicting power of God, the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. And this is all God's mercy. What's the purpose of it all? It is this. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It is that you'd be saved, that you'd be born again, washed in the blood of Christ, that you'd be made ready for heaven. These were the mercies that Jerusalem had enjoyed, that they'd tasted, that they had known. And my friend in the meeting tonight, if you're still not saved, yes, I believe these are the mercies that you too have known and enjoyed from God's bountiful hand throughout your life. Friend listening in unsaved, if you're not saved, let me ask, are these a picture of the mercies also that you have received from the bountiful hand of our God? Indeed, the hymn writers, they thought of God's mercy toward them. They penned these words. They said, when all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with this view, I'm lost in wonder, love and praise. They were overwhelmed by the mercies of the Lord. We see here the Lord's mercy. We see the Lord's concern. But notice one final thought from our text this evening. Notice the Lord's sorrow. The sorrow of the Lord. You look at what our text says. Look at the words before you in verse 37. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. You notice how Christ begins that verse. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. These are a cry from his heart, those words. A cry not just from his lips, but from his very heart. And they show to you now that the grief that there was here in the heart of Christ, the sorrow, the deep sorrow there was in the heart of Christ for Jerusalem. And this sorrow was due to the fact that the people of that city, by and large, they rejected him as Savior, and they refused God's salvation toward them. Notice the final words there of verse 37. He says, and ye would not. They would not come unto him or trust him as Savior. And those words are a testimony to the rejection of him as Savior. And that was their choice. That was their own deliberate, willful decision. Remember what John's gospel says, and he came unto his own, it says, and his own received him not. Again, in the gospel of John, Christ speaks directly to such, and he says, and ye will not come to me, he says, that ye might have life. And the evidence of this was seen, yes, in their rejection of God's faithful servants. And the rejection of the message that God's faithful servants brought to them. Notice how Christ speaks about this before our text. Look at verse 34, verse 35, and verse 36 of the chapter. He says, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify. And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. There he speaks of the very fact that there were those and they had rejected the Lord's servants, the message that they had heard from the servants of the Lord. They turned away from it. They turned a deaf ear to it. You think of Isaiah the prophet. Secular Jewish history tells us how Isaiah was sawn asunder. You think of John the Baptist. He was beheaded for his faithful preaching of the word of God to King Herod. And then the Jews themselves, their rejection of Christ had culminated in their own desire to have Christ crucified, to have Christ put to death upon the cross of Calvary. You think of Christ at his trial. The Jews called for Barabbas, a common criminal, to be released. And speaking of Christ, what did they say? They said, "Let him be crucified. His blood be in us and on our children." They rejected him. And because of their rejection of him as Savior, Christ sorrowed. Christ was not angry with them. He sorrowed. He wept over them. Turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and the verse number 41. You'll see this for yourself. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 41. It says, "Hear of Christ, and when he came near," that is, came near Jerusalem, "he beheld it." Notice what it says, "and he wept over it." There you have Christ standing, viewing the city of Jerusalem. And he's weeping. He's shedding tears. He's sorrowing. Why? Yes, Christ wept and he sorrowed. Why? Because he knew that their rejection of him would reap terrible consequences for them. You see, whenever they rejected Christ, they were left to their sin. They were given up to their sin. Look at verse number 38. Notice the words that follow our text this evening of Matthew chapter 23. The Lord warned them of the outcome of this. He says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Speaking of the temple and all the worship and all the concern, he says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." The Lord had left them. And may the Lord give them up to judgment. And the city of Jerusalem, yes, was given over to God's judgment. In AD 70, Rome laid siege to Jerusalem, to its gates. And the outcome was bondage, famine, terrible death, and destruction. It was the outcome. In recent days, we've seen the awful sieges of Mariupol and other places in Ukraine. They're terrible. But nothing to the awful siege of Jerusalem, the awful destruction that came upon the city because they rejected Christ, they turned their back upon Christ. Go back again to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and again you'll see how Christ warns them of this very fact. Luke chapter 19, look at verse 43 and verse number 44 of Luke 19. He says, "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." The Lord had visited in mercy. And they chose to reject that mercy. They turned away from it. And now the Lord was going to visit in judgment, going to visit in wrath. And my, the city was given over to the judgment of God. And friend, there's a warning here in the gospel, a very solemn warning. The friend, the warning is this: if you're still not saved, let me say this, do not turn away from the Lord's warning. Do not turn away from the Lord's warning voice. The Lord says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." And dear friend, just as the Lord grieved over Jerusalem and their rejection of him as Savior, so the Lord also grieves over you, for he knows that your sin will condemn you to a lost eternity in hell, to that place of everlasting judgment and everlasting perdition. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" There's an awful end to sin. Turn over with me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and the verse number 8. Look at what it says. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He talks there about the second death. And that list begins with the fearful, with the unbelieving, those who turn away from Christ, those who refuse the gospel, those who will not trust Christ as Savior. They shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the end, dear friend. If you die unsaved, die rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, die without God's so great salvation. Friend, in light of this awful judgment that awaits you when you die, do not go on living in your sin. Do not go on rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ a moment's longer. No. But while you're in the day of grace, while you're in the day of opportunity, call upon the Lord. Seek the Lord. Christ says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When the blood of Christ is applied by faith to your heart, you're saved from the wrath to come. You're sure of heaven. The Bible says of Christ, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And praise God, whenever Christ saves you, he'll pardon all your sins. He'll give you grace to live for his honor and glory. He will save you. He will keep you. And he will rejoice over you as his own, his bride, as purchased by his precious blood, saved, redeemed, and ready for heaven. Friend, unsaved, don't go away tonight without the Lord. Come to him and trust him as your own and personal Savior. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 227. 227, is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. Jesus is passing this way today. Jesus is passing this way. Is passing this way today. We'll stand as we sing, and we'll sing verses 1 and 4 of the hymn. Verses 1 and 4 along with the chorus, standing as we sing. Thank thee this evening for thy presence with us, for thy precious word. Bless thy word, thy truth to our hearts. Lord, for any in our gathering, any listening in also online, unsaved, Lord, speak to them. And Lord, even tonight, may they go on and sin no longer. May they not go on one moment longer rejecting Christ, but may they come to him and trust him even tonight for salvation. Answer prayer to this end. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies, we pray. Grant now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit with all this night and always. Amen.